Matthew 7, verses 1 to 6, entitled Judging Others, and it reads like this. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ooh. And the second one is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Lawsuits among believers. Surely not. Let's find out. If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother goes to law against another, and this is in front of unbelievers. Is that what we stop it, Anna?
Yeah.
You want the next two?
Yes, can do.
The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourself cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brethren. Amen.
So, let's explore, shall we, what Jesus was talking about. Do not judge. It's one of the sayings of Jesus that is quite commonly used in the world, in people who aren't Christians. They say, oh, you know, somebody's committed some atrocity and perhaps they've assaulted somebody or even murdered somebody, but you know, we mustn't judge them because, you know, they might have had a bad upbringing and all that sort of stuff. And clearly Jesus is not talking about the exercise of objective discriminatory judgment. Because there's many other passages in Scripture that talk about the need for us to be able to discern good and evil, to be able to understand that some things are wrong and some things are right. We're going to go on in the passage and talk about taking planks out your eye. And if you don't judge and discern that there's a plank there, you can't take it out, can you? And there's a verse we're going to go on to that talks about pigs and dogs. And if you don't discern and think, you'll mix your pigs and your dogs up. You've got to look and, oh, that's a dog. Oh, that's a pig. Jesus isn't saying don't judge in the sense of don't have any discrimination and do not distinguish between things. And that passage in 1 Corinthians, Paul had heard that there were people in the church at Corinth who had gone to the secular law to try and reach a judgment against a fellow Christian. And Paul says, what a load of rubbish that is. Isn't there somebody in your church who's got enough wisdom from God to be able to distinguish good from evil, to be able to help these two brothers in coming to resolve their dispute. The last thing in the world, Paul says, is that you should go to court. So obviously, the scriptures do talk about discernment, and they do talk about distinguishing good from evil. So what was Jesus talking about? Okay, well, let's just eavesdrop, shall we, on a conversation. It's an imaginary conversation, but you can imagine it's going on in a church. And the people who are talking to each other are two mature members of the church, but I'm going to put mature in inverted commas. Okay. So it goes like this. Poor, have you seen them new people who've come to join the church? Poor, don't think much of them. Have you seen what they wear? Well, that's not. I mean, Christians wouldn't wear things like that, would they? Have you seen their tattoos? Tattoos all over. That can't be right, can it? Christians don't have tattoos. And have you heard their language? You know, we're quite posh, aren't we? And, you know, but they've got all sorts of funny expressions and things. Poor, they really are peculiar people, you know. I don't think they can be proper Christians at all. I don't think we ought to have them in the church at all. Now, I'm sure you've never heard any conversations like that. But there are, sadly, people who do get so entrenched in the view that they are right, and that anybody who looks or says or speaks or dresses or anything else different to themselves can't be true Christians, because I'm right and I'm perfect, nearly. Not quite, but you know what I mean. I'm pretty mature, and I'm pretty clever, and I know it all, and God's really very pleased with me. And you know, and they're not like me at all, are they? They're just sort of riffraff. There are people, sadly, who seem to have almost a spirit of criticism. And they all seem to see the bad and emphasize the bad and don't seem to have much grace or mercy. And that's what I believe Jesus is getting at. He's getting at this concept that we puff ourselves up, think that we're the bee's knees, we're God's favourite, and we can stand in judgment about other people's behaviour and other people's views, and we can dismiss them and think that they're not proper Christians and have therefore nothing to do with them. It's this sort of behaviour, I believe, that Jesus is criticising and condemning and saying we should not do it. We should not judge our brothers and sisters. And it is brothers and sisters. It's within the Christian community these verses are directed. It's within the church. We should not be censorious and judgmental in that sense. Yes, we need to distinguish, but we shouldn't be judgmental in that way between people. And it's often it's the newcomers, and it's the people who are a bit different to us that we can be judgmental about. Why shouldn't we do this? Well, in the second verse of our passage, Jesus says the measure that you give will be the measure that God dishes to you. And I was just talking about it a bit at the church meeting on Thursday. God is almost saying, how would you think if I judged you, God judged you, but in the same way that you're judging other people? Would you stand up to the measure? Aren't there times when you dress a bit peculiarly? I don't know. I'm sure there might be. But, you know, are there times when you say something that comes out a bit wrong? Are there times when you're critical? And God says, don't be like that to others, because you wouldn't like me to be like that to you, would you? And we've been singing about the grace and the mercy of God, that whatever we have done wrong, we can come and receive forgiveness. That's the tremendous truth of the Christian faith. God is saying, you wouldn't like me to treat you like you're treating somebody else, would you? And then Jesus gives this illustration. And I am sure that Jesus would have a smile on his face when he gave this idea, when he talked about, you know, removing the speck from your brother's removing the speck from your brother's eye. Can I just correct you? You're ever so slightly wrong. Let me just take that little speck out of your eye. When you've got a dirty, great big builder's plank in your own eye. Jesus was joking. He was using humor. He was using hyperbole. He was overstating it. And I meant to say as well, the judgmental couple would say, and those new people in church, you know, those with the funny clothes and the tattoos who speak funnily, they laugh and joke. We never laugh and joke. Being a Christian is a very serious thing. You know, I haven't laughed for years. Being a Christian, very, very serious. Not a smile on your face. Well, absolute rubbish. Jesus, in many bits of his teaching, you can imagine he was tongue-in-cheek, smile on his face, and his hearers would be laughing at the absurdity of what he was saying. I'm all for comedy. Sidetrack, I'll tell you a few jokes if you like. I don't know if you've comedy is one of those things over this last 20 years really become popular, hasn't it? Stand-up comedy. People flock to stand-up comedy events, and there's some Christians working as professional comedians. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and they're clean. You know, they don't use foul language or swearing or blasphemy. They make, I mean, some comedians do, and it's pretty horrible. But, you know, there are Christian comedians. You know, Tim Vine, the jokes. My favourite, Milton Jones. Milton Jones, lovely Christian man. A few Milton Jones jokes. He's got a lot of granddad jokes. He was on his about fifth granddad. I was just watching a little clip before I came out. Granddad's very old. We smeared lard all over his back. Now he's gone downhill very quickly. Which I think is very funny. Milton Jones's jokes are play on words. You know, I've just come back from America. I really entered the culture while I was there. Went into a shop. As I was leaving, the chap said, "Have a nice day." I didn't, so I sued him. So lots of funny Milton Jones jokes. Anyway, he's very funny. He's on YouTube. Very, very funny. And Andy Kind came here in March, April, didn't he? And great comedy show. I'm looking at Nick at the back because Nick was Ezekiel, sir. I think wasn't you? He talked about you as Ezekiel because you had your hair down and you looked. Andy was very. I thought you did brilliantly well in going along with the jokes, but he was very funny. But Andy Kine uses his humour in evangelism to challenge people. So, great thing about comedy. And Jesus, I'm sure, had his hearers in stitches when he talked about this idea. Because as soon as you talk about it, it's ridiculous, isn't it? How can you pick a little bit of grit out of somebody's eye when you've got a dirty, great big plank in your own? Of course you can't. It's ludicrous. And so one of the reasons, the second reason Jesus says we shouldn't judge because that's the way that God might treat us. But the second reason is that we're sometimes completely blind to our own problems. We can think we can see the little problems in other people's lives, and sometimes we're quite quick to judge them because of the problems in their life. But Jesus is saying, as human beings, even followers of Jesus, human beings, we're sometimes blind to the plank in our own eye. We're blind to our own weaknesses and failings. And if somebody was honestly coming back to us and pointing out our failures, we might be overwhelmed with the size of our problem compared with the tiny little problem that we were judging somebody else for. And one of the ways around that, and I think Christians are becoming more open to this idea, is that we share our lives with a few people that really can hold us to account. One of the joys and blessings of home groups is that you can get to know people better in smaller groups. We've got a series of prayer triplets in the church, three people praying together. And those even smaller groups sometimes can be really powerful ways in which we can hold each other to account. And we can be open with one another. And we can ask our brothers and sisters to help us remove the plank from our own eye so that we might see more clearly. The problem is, there is another issue. And I'm just going to read something here. There is a psychological thing called projection. Psychologists describe it as the attribution of one's own ideas onto others, especially blame, guilt, or responsibility as a defense about anxiety. Those who shout loudest and are most judgmental or condemnatory of others are maybe covering up their guilt because they realize that they do the same sins. So this is an opposite. This is you are condemnatory and judgmental about certain attitudes in people because you are conscious that that is what you're like, and you're projecting your own problem onto somebody else. So, for example, there was in America a televangelist. Let me get the facts right. A televangelist called Jim Baker, his sexual sins were exposed and his ministry collapsed. The person who was loudest in condemnation was his fellow televangelist, Jimmy Swaggart. And some months after that, Jimmy Swaggart's sexual sins came to the forefront and his ministry collapsed. And certainly in the secular world, it has been noted that some of the people, for example, who are most judgmental and use the most horrible language to condemn homosexuals are themselves closet homosexuals. And they use that language projecting their own problem with their own sexuality. So within this business of seeing the plank in our own eye, there may be things that we don't realize are there that need taking away, and accountability is needed to help that. But there also may be things which actually, the things that we shout loudest about are the things that are actually most troubling us inside ourselves. And we need to be sensitive about how that is handled. And perhaps thoughtful about that particular process. So I hope we've been able to just think about those first five verses. And I think it would help us if we replace that judge, do not judge or you too will be judged. If we replace that word with censoriousness. Now, censoring of somebody else. So what Jesus, I think, is saying to us is not that we shouldn't objectively and discern right and wrong. No. What Jesus is condemning and telling us not to do is not, we're not to be harsh, we're not to be the person who blames everyone, who puts the worst possible construction upon other people, thinking the worst of them, and we mustn't therefore be that sort of censorious, judgmental person in the wrong way. And I think that those are very important lessons for us, because sadly, there are people who seem to be harsh and critical. Praise God, I've seen it in other places, but praise God, you're a lovely lot of people at Manor Court, and I just wonder. But we still fall out with each other occasionally, and I'm conscious that there are people who are not on best of terms with other people. Even in our fellowship. We still need to learn the lessons that Jesus would teach us about getting on with each other. Verse 6 is a funny verse, but it's got included in the text, so I need to just mention it. Do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and they'll turn and tear you to pieces. Again, Jesus is using colourful language. He's probably tongue-in-cheek a bit, probably a bit of a smile on his face, perhaps, because he's using sort of strange language. Pigs in Judaism were the unclean animals. You can't eat pork. And the only people who kept pigs in New Testament times were Gentiles, were non-Jews. So there's herds of pigs in the New Testament, but all the pig farmers were Gentiles. You couldn't be a pig farmer and a Jew. You couldn't eat anything. You couldn't go near, you didn't associate with pigs and pork and things like that. So things that are unclean. Dogs are not your friend for Christmas in the New Testament. Dogs tend to be scavengers. They're wild animals kept as guards and kept as scavengers in towns and cities usually. And dogs are therefore not the cuddly, friendly things that we talk about today. So dogs were wild scavengers. And commentators think that Jesus is saying in this passage, don't, if somebody is vehemently against the gospel and the good news of Jesus, don't bash your head against the wall and keep on. Because it's a bit like throwing the good stuff, the pearls, to the pigs. Pigs aren't interested in the pearls, can't eat them. They'll just trample them. It's, you know, a pearl which to us is very valuable. Costs, you know, very, very valuable jewel. To a pig, it's just something you can't eat. So you spit it out and trample it. And I think what Jesus is trying to say in the passage is that discern those who are rejecting the gospel outright. Don't continually bash your head against a brick wall in trying to share the gospel with them. If they're clearly not interested, if they're clearly antagonistic towards the gospel, better to spend your time sharing the good news of Jesus with those who are receptive and who those who are hungry to hear. No point in bashing your head against the brick wall. And it would seem that that's the way that the commentators understand that slightly strange verse, because it doesn't easily fit in with the previous few verses, and it just seems to come out of the blue. But that's what people are thinking. So I hope that's been a helpful trying to tease out what Jesus is saying in these passages, that what Jesus is trying to ensure that his followers are like, and that we're not standing in judgment over our brothers and sisters in the wrong sort of way. Yes, we need to rightly discern good and evil, but we mustn't be judgmental and write people off just because they're different to us, just because they do things in a different way. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, help us to learn the messages from your word. Help us, Lord, to be people who are loving and gracious and kind and understanding of each other. Lord, we don't want to compromise the truth, but we do want to be people who are kind and caring and non-judgmental in that sense. Yeah, Lord, we do want to be able to know the difference between right and wrong and what's right and what isn't right. But we do want to be people who are gracious and kind and do not write people off. Forgive us, Lord, when we make mistakes, and guide and help us to do the job right, Lord. Amen.